This is the Word of God found in Genesis 42, starting with verse 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. We've been in the book of Genesis for some time now, all year, and read about God's creation of the heaven and earth, read about the fall of man by his decision to disobey God. We've read about the overspreading of the earth with violence and corruption and the flood. Read about the Tower of Babel and the confounding of the languages. Read about God's choice of Abraham and the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and the first part of the life of Jacob up to the point where he settled again in the land of Canaan and he and his brother Esau buried their father Isaac. And starting with Genesis 37, we read about the life of one of Jacob's sons, really about all of Jacob's sons, but with a particular focus on one of his sons named Joseph. And Joseph is a man. Even the description that we have in Genesis shows that he is not without fault. Later we will read that when Jacob crosses his hands to bless his younger son in greater measure than his oldest son, then Joseph objects, whereas the scripture lets us know it's by faith Jacob does that. So Joseph as a man described is not perfect, but in so many ways Joseph is given as a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've mentioned some of those. Joseph was the beloved son of his father, Jacob. Joseph was given a coat of many colors as a result of that love. And even as white light breaks into the colors of the rainbow, we find out that around the throne of God is a rainbow. And so there Joseph had a coat of many colors. We find that Joseph was destined to rule, even as our Lord Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we also find that his brethren were jealous and hated him. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to his own, and his own received him not. So he was hated. He was despised and rejected of men. We find that Joseph's brethren made plans to kill him. And how often in the Gospels do we find that the leaders of religion in Christ's day plotted to kill him? The brethren finally sold Joseph into slavery for 20 pieces of silver, even as the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. And following that sale as a slave, we find Joseph going from beloved son to hated brother, to slave, to falsely accused slave, since Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph of molestation. And then from falsely accused slave to prisoner, because he was thrown in prison as a result. After telling the dreams of the butler and baker of Pharaoh, Joseph asked for the butler to remember him before Pharaoh, and the butler forgot him for 2 years. So he went from beloved son to hated brother to slave to prisoner to forgotten prisoner. Even so, our Lord Jesus Christ went from being the Son of God, equal with God, the Creator, to being a man and showing God's characteristics in human form, even as Joseph wore that coat of many colors, showing different colors and aspects. He came down to earth as a human being. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet he knew not sin. And he went from that to being despised and rejected of men as he was a man. And then he went to being betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. and then falsely accused as a blasphemer when he was the faithful and holy Son of God. And from being falsely accused as a blasphemer, he went into captivity as he was and torment, and finally crucified. And as he was crucified, darkness came over the face of the earth, and in the darkness he suffered the wrath of God. And as the Scripture tells us, that message of the gospel, he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then his body was taken from the cross and buried in the grave. So as Joseph went from beloved son to forgotten prisoner, our Lord Jesus Christ went from the Son of God, and he is the Creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He went to being made sin, and his body was buried in the earth. But then in Genesis, we read how when Pharaoh had a dream, Joseph was brought out of prison to interpret Pharaoh's dream, and as a result of that interpretation and the display of his wisdom, he was taken out of prison permanently and made the ruler of Egypt. What happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, having paid for sin, having said it is finished, and his body buried in the tomb? He rose from the grave on the third day, and he told the women that came to see him, and told his disciples, rather, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. Why, he rose from the dead and he led captivity captive. And he fills all things. And he's recognized as the one that sits on the right hand of God from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So we've read that about Joseph, and we've seen him as a very strong picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in his belovedness, in his hatedness, in his faithfulness, in his descent into misery and darkness, and then to his rise from that misery and darkness to brightness, glory, power, and reigning. We've seen all that. Now we see another aspect of Joseph as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And this is how the Lord Jesus Christ deals with his relatives. Does Christ have relatives? Well, by adoption, yes. You see, before the foundation of the world, the Lord God chose a vast number of people, like the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky from out of every nation. He chose them in Christ to be redeemed and to be reconciled unto God, and to live forever in heaven. And God will not lose one of them, because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his work is complete and successful. But now there's another aspect. And that is, everyone that Christ died for and paid for their sins is born again of God's Spirit. And so the Spirit of God's within them, and they are his brothers by adoption. He's the only begotten Son of God, but there's this vast number of adopted brothers that Jesus Christ has by God's choice. And how does he deal with them? You see, they are the ones whose sin sent him to the cross. They are the ones who have a fallen nature, and yet they are now related to him because they're born of the Spirit and they're destined to dwell with him in glory. The very purpose of predestination is to conform those whom God foreknew to the image of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. So here we have that the Lord deals with his brethren and reveals himself to them. But there's a period of time before that revealing occurs. And we're reading what motivates it. These are the brethren of Joseph, and they're in a time of hunger. When the children of God are born again of the Holy Spirit, they have spiritual life. And that spiritual life brings about some characteristics such as the fruit of the Spirit. Love is one of these. The reason anybody loves is because God first loved them. They're born of the Spirit. Faith is another aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. Someone has the ability to believe. It's because they've been born again. They've been born again because they've been redeemed at the cross. They were redeemed at the cross because they were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. So there's faith. That's one of the aspects. But you know, in addition to that fruit of the Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us some characteristics of actions and attitudes that manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All right, you find somebody that's come to a poverty, a spiritual poverty, you're looking at a child of God who is one to whom the kingdom of heaven belongs. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Somebody that mourns over their sins is manifesting the fact that they've been born again. Because the natural man, he either doesn't acknowledge the existence of sin or any concern or care about the fact that he has committed sin. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Because they're spiritual life and because they are the adopted brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ, that spiritual life manifests itself as a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. And they're blessed, for they shall be filled. So now we have these men that are the family of Joseph. And the ones that are coming down into Egypt at this time are the brethren of Joseph. They are related to Joseph. And you know what they're experiencing right now? Famine. Hunger. In some ways, poverty. Now, Jacob and his family are not poor, as we see in money. They are not poor in balm or spices. They even have some livestock. But you know what they don't have? They don't have grain, and they don't have food. You know, money is, we consider it pretty valuable. But what if we had a whole lot of money stacked up in the bank and in our house, and there was nothing on the shelves of the grocery store for us to buy? That'd be pretty miserable, wouldn't it? You can't eat money. And so the fact that they're hungry and this famine has come is what motivates this trip to try to satisfy that hunger, to try to buy corn. So here's the picture. Joseph has risen out of darkness and prison to rule over Egypt, and now he's administering the corn that he has counseled to be saved, and they're in the time of famine, and he's got those that are family to him, and they are experiencing the famine. There's a shortage of grain. There's hunger, and Jacob, their father, has given them some information. Information that there's corn in Egypt. You know, God the Father is the one that draws us to Jesus Christ, or we won't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what the Lord Jesus taught in John chapter 6? No man can come unto me except the Father draw him. Many people want to interpret that word draw as to woo or entice or persuade. But I believe if you look up the original Greek for that word draw, it carries not the meaning of woo, entice, or persuade, but to drag and to pull. No man can. That's a question of ability. No man can come unto Jesus Christ except the Father drag him. All right. So here it's the Father who is the one who is sending those sons to Egypt, and that's where Joseph reigns. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, what does he mean, saw? Can he see this far? Well, it means that he has learned that. He understands that. Perhaps he's seen caravans coming out of the south, and they're loaded down with big bags of grain, and he's thinking and asking, where did you get these large quantities of grain, of corn, when there's famine all around us? And I said, oh, there's stored up corn in Egypt. We bought it there. So when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do you look one upon another? You ever been in a case like that where you don't know what to do about a situation, you're just kind of looking at each other? And Jacob said, why are you boys just looking at each other? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. They got money. They got spices. They got balm. They can't eat it. Their livestock are in trouble. And shortly thereafter, they're in trouble. So I've learned. He says, behold, I have heard. So he's seen and he's heard. There's corn in Egypt. Get down into Egypt. Verse 3. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. So Jacob sends 10 of his sons. Now Jacob had one daughter named Dinah, and he had 12 sons. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Gad, Asher, Dan, Naphtali, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin, and I'm forgetting one, Issachar. So he had 12 sons. And Leah was the mother of 6 of those sons and his daughter. And they were all there in the area. They were all alive, as far as we know. We know the 6 boys were alive. And then Bilhah's 2 sons were alive and there. And Zilpah's 2 sons were alive and there. And Rachel had 2 sons, Joseph and Benjamin. But as far as Jacob knows now, Joseph's dead. The only son he's got left from Rachel is Benjamin. So he tells the 10 of the other boys, Joseph's in Egypt, and he's not letting Benjamin go. He tells the other 10 boys, go down to Egypt. Why risk all 10 of them? Well, they're grown, they're in the prime of life, and they need as much food as they can. So as many people managing as many pack animals as possible, they need to make this journey count. So he's sent down all 10 of his sons, but he will not send Benjamin. So we can speculate that the reason he sent all 10 is volume. But we know the reason he won't send Benjamin is the reason is he won't risk the life of what he thinks is Rachel's remaining living son. Verse 5. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. So there were people from different lands coming to Egypt to buy corn, and Joseph's brethren are now among them. Verse 6. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Do you all remember Joseph's dream? Joseph dreamed that they were all gathering sheaves, and the sheaf of grain that belonged to his brother bowed down to his sheaf. And then he had another dream that the sun and moon and 11 stars bowed down to him. And so we see at least the fulfillment of part of this dream here is that 10 of his brethren have come and now they're bowing down to him. Verse 7. And Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. Questions on this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ presented by Joseph. Does our Lord Jesus know us before we know him? Oh, yes. He not only knows us prior to us knowing him, he foreknew us before the creation of the world, but he knows his children. In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul will write this, nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, what? The Lord knoweth them that are his. So he knows his people before they know him. Well, does God, knowing his people before they know him, the minute they are born again of the Holy Spirit and start experiencing spiritual hunger and thirst after righteousness, does he automatically reveal himself to them? Someone that's born again, do they know the gospel right after that? No. Not usually. Some people might. Apostle Paul might. Most people don't. They go through a period of time when he knowing them, they don't know him, and even after they're born again, don't know the name of their Savior or much about what he's done. And this is suffered of God. Could he just reveal himself immediately to them once they're born again and he's revealed himself within them? Once he's revealed himself inside their heart, has taken his place in their heart, could he not immediately reveal himself to their mind? He could, but he doesn't. He doesn't. And here, Joseph doesn't reveal himself to his brethren. Let's see if this checks out other places in the Bible. If I go to Isaiah chapter 45, there, read something about God. It says in verse 15, Isaiah 45, 15, "Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior." Isn't that something? God hides himself. Let's go over in the New Testament to see if that checks out there. We can go to Luke chapter 24, and this is after Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. There's two disciples that are walking to a village outside of Jerusalem called Emmaus. This is Luke 24, starting with verse 13. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him." And he tells them all about the Savior as proclaimed in the Old Testament, and they don't realize who it is they're talking to until they sit down at the table and begin to break bread with him. Let's look at this over in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Lord Jesus Christ rises from the dead, and who should meet him in the garden but Mary Magdalene? And she doesn't know who he is. It says in John 20, starting with verse 11, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus." Run into this again in John chapter 21. Starting with verse 3. "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a city immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." See, there's these times that we are in the presence of the Lord. We don't know about it. And it makes me think of a verse of Scripture. How often did Brother Edward preach from, "Come all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know what the verse is right above that says? In the verse immediately before that, Matthew 11, 27, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." What's the point? You and I are dependent on the revelation of God revealing himself to us. We depend on the Son revealing the Father to us. We depend on the Father drawing us to the Son. So we're, if anybody thinks that anybody, I don't care how gifted the preacher may be, how great the scholar may be, has got the Bible figured out, he doesn't have anything figured out that's any good unless the Lord reveals it. And so that's the position that Joseph's brethren are in right now. They know they're hungry. Why? Because they're alive. They are standing in the presence of one who loves them. Why? He's their brother. But he's not revealing himself now. There are some lessons they need to learn in this hunger. And they are about to learn the necessity of repenting from wrong. And so being there, he's going to deal kindly with them, but he's going to speak roughly with them. And he's not yet going to reveal that they've got a brother who's ruling Egypt. And so he knows them and they don't know him, and he speaks roughly. If you read your center reference, that roughly means he speaks hard things to them. So he's going to deal with them, and it's going to be a way that is actually, as far as their life concerned, kindly. But as in a way that deals with them as far as their egos are concerned, it's going to be kind of rough. Verse 9, and Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. All right. They're coming out with their stories. He says, you're here to spy out how Egypt is weak. And they say, no, we're just here to buy food. As a matter of fact, we're all related. We're all brothers. And we left our younger brother back with our father in the land of Canaan. We're true men. And we're 10 brothers. And we've got an 11th back with our father. And one of our brothers is not. One of our brothers is dead. All right, the subject is coming up. Can we see this now? They're bowing before Joseph. Joseph knows them before they know him. They're acknowledging the death of one who was their brother. Verse 14, and Joseph said unto them, this is that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. All right, this is something you see with investigations today. You get a witness in, you interrogate him. He tells some stories of his experience, and then you follow up. If he mentions he was in this place in this day, you go and you find out if other people saw him. You check out the relationships and the events he's mentioned here. They've mentioned that they're all brothers. They're just here to buy corn. They left their younger brother back in Canaan with their fathers. He says, all right, I'm going to check out your story. You send one of you back to Canaan and bring this younger brother you're talking about. The rest of you, since you could very well be spies, I'm going to keep you in prison. Verse 17, and he put them all together into ward 3 days. So they spend 3 days in prison. You know what the Apostle Paul called himself sometimes? Paul the Apostle, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And so as he spent well over 2 years in prison, we don't know how long it was before the butler forgot him. But he spent a long time in prison. They get a little taste of his sufferings. Now, no one can come anywhere near the sufferings of Jesus Christ. If you took my sins alone, they would fill a huge book. And the Lord, my great hope is He paid for every single solitary one of those sins, suffering the wrath of God, which is like the lake of fire, on my behalf. And that's what He did for every one of you, children of God. Who could even come near to that suffering? No one. No one. Whether they're elect or non-elect, they won't come anywhere near that suffering. But you know, brothers and sisters, we do receive a little taste of the sufferings of Christ. We find out that in this world you shall have tribulation, said the Lord Jesus Christ. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Remember what God said to, what the Lord said to Ananias when He was telling him to go baptize Paul? He tells him, behold, he prayeth. He says, for I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So hereafter, Joseph has spent years in prison. He gives his brethren a taste of 3 days in prison. And the initial condition was, you fellas stay in prison, one of you go back and get your brother. Now he's going to lighten up, and there's going to be some leniency in this chastisement. Verse 18. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. So he said, I'm not going to send one of you back to make this. I realize that if you're speaking truly, you came down and your family's hungry. So I'm not going to keep all of you and send one of you. I'm going to keep one of you and send the rest of you. And I'm going to send you back with food. If y'all are hungry, you can feed your families. But you come back down here. If you want your brother out of prison, you want to verify the word you've spoken to me, you bring that youngest brother and come back down here. Notice why he says do this. For I fear God. His mercy is there because He is one who honors the living God. What did Christ say on that sermon? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so here Joseph is showing mercy to his brethren and sending food and sending nine of those brothers. He's going to keep one back. Verse 21. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. So Joseph is listening to this conversation. And they're coming to this part, and even though they have received great mercy and that just one of them is going to have to stay, they realize things are going not as we had hoped. We're experiencing suffering. We're experiencing trouble. And you know, here's the thing. If you go through a period of trouble and suffering and you don't know why it is, you don't know what the reason for it is, it may just be because you are living in this world and you have an enemy and the prince of this world, and you go through trouble even though you haven't done anything wrong particularly to provoke it. That's what happened to Job. He had not done anything wrong, and yet still he went through the trial. So how do you know if it's not a chastisement or if it is a chastisement? If it is a chastisement, God will let you know. And God is letting Joseph's brethren know why they're encountering this trouble. Now notice, none of them is dead. None of them have had their goods confiscated. Only one of them is going to stay in prison, and he only has to stay in prison long enough to get Benjamin back into Egypt. Well, I've looked at the map. It's about 200 miles. Traveling by camel, you know, you could probably make this trip in 10 to 14 days. good, healthy person with the right animals and provision. So if they take 14 days to get back to Canaan and 14 days to come back, Simeon may be looking at a month in prison if they do that. So this is a very light punishment, but already things are looking like it's going wrong, and they know right what the reason is. If you're encountering trouble or suffering because you're being chastised, how will you know if it's chastisement? God will let you know. You will know, I did wrong. I haven't repented from it. I haven't gone before God and confessed it. I haven't made it right with whoever else I hurt. And as a result, I'm suffering. And Joseph's brethren know that. They know it, and they're saying it. They said, all of this has come upon us because we're guilty concerning our brother. They don't name him, but it's clear who they're talking about, Joseph. That they heard, they saw the anguish of his soul. He was down in that pit with no water. And they were sitting outside the pit eating lunch, talking about killing him. And he was pleading, brethren, let me out, don't do this. And they wouldn't listen to him. And Reuben went off to try to see if he could get help and wasn't able to do it. And they were talking about killing him up to the point that they sold him as a slave instead. And they didn't hear the cry and the anguish of his soul. And now they're realizing how wrong what they did was. And so they're saying this, and they don't know that even though Joseph's within earshot, that he understands. They're speaking in their home tongue, probably Hebrew, and Joseph is over there, and so far he's been speaking in the Egyptian language through an interpreter. How often does God speak to us right to our heart? We understand, but how often does he speak to us through his messenger? You may not know if God's hearing your prayers or not. And then sometimes, well, all the time, he knows what you're praying and sends you answers through an interpreter, through a messenger, through a message boy, a preacher, to bring you the answers to carry on this conversation. One part of the conversation you're talking, he understands. The other part may well come through somebody else. And that's the way it is in this case. Verse 25, then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? It's getting even worse now. They look like thieves. They meant to buy this corn. They stopped in the inn, and there may not have been much wild vegetation. It's a time of famine. They need to give their donkey something to eat. They can open up a sack to pull a handful of corn out of there to give one of the donkeys. Lo and behold, they reach in, clink, there's money there. And they think, now not only will we be accused as spies, we'll be accused as thieves. We're worse than we thought we were when we left the land. And isn't it this way? When you first began to encounter the gospel, you come because of your hunger. You start to realize your sin. You start to realize how much you need to repent. And then you find out you need to repent more than you thought you needed to repent. And things seem even worse. Verse 29, and they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men, we're no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father, one is not. And the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. Traffic, we think of it as Atlanta 285. But traffic can also mean like a drug trafficker, somebody that trades. And he says, if you do this, bring back your younger brother, you can come down here and you can trade in the land of Egypt. Get the kind of corn and provisions that you need, but you need to bring your youngest brother down here. Look at the situation we often encounter in the ministry of the gospel. There are here now one brother who's been saved back with his father. They need to bring him to Joseph. You and I sometimes need to invite people we love to hear the gospel, don't we? Because they need to be fed, not only through your example, they need to be fed together with the rest of the church. And then sometimes the Lord keeps somebody for a prisoner. That's what he did to the Apostle Paul. That's what he does to some men who are ordained to the offices in the church. They are the prisoner of the Lord. They need to stay right there in the land where the corn is provided now, and be there as a prisoner. And so you've got nine that have gone back, and they need to come back in order to help the prisoner. They need to bring their brother. And brothers and sisters, it does help a prisoner of the Lord when you bring somebody you love to the place where the corn is stored, where the food is stored. Verse 35, and it came to pass as they emptied their sacks that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. It's not just one sack now. They open up everything, find out every one of the sacks. They haven't spent any money in Egypt. They had plenty of money. Jacob's got money. They just can't eat money. They need corn. And they've gone down there and they've got an accusation of espionage, and now not only one, but all nine of these boys have got money in their sack, and they are thinking they're facing the charge of being thieves as well. What does this show us? Well, you know, there's some very valuable things in the world. I appreciate the giving that goes on in the membership of this church and everything, but you know, the gospel, from whomever it comes, and the blessings of the New Testament church, they are without money and without price. If you read Isaiah chapter 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and drink, and buy wine and milk without money and without price." Joseph has sent them back, and they haven't spent anything. He's feeding his family with something that they very much need, but not because of the money they brought. It's a food, it's a sustenance, it's a refreshment, and it's without money and without price. Verse 36, "And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." Jacob's kind of having a pity party, but I kind of understand it now. He said, "You're taking away what I hold most precious. Joseph is now gone, and Simeon is gone. I don't know if I'll ever see him. And you want to take Benjamin? All these things are against me." You ever been in that situation where you just think the whole world's against me? Everything's going wrong. I'm failing all the way around. I've been there. Maybe you've been there. Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and is a way symbolizes God's chosen people of Israel throughout all nations, he's at that place now. All these things are against me. I'm losing everything that's precious. We go to that place sometime. Reuben speaks up and he doesn't help much. Verse 37. "And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." So the oldest boy, Reuben, and you've already seen, he's not very stable. There's some kindliness to him. He's the one that wanted to save Joseph from death. But he's just not very stable and balanced. He's the one that had an affair with his stepmother and shamed and hurt his father so bad through that. Now, Joseph has told him, you got to bring back Benjamin. Jacob doesn't want to send Benjamin. And Reuben says, Daddy, send Benjamin with me so that we can get Simeon out of prison and we can buy some more corn and go back down into Egypt and take care of this. Send Benjamin with me. And if I mess up and somehow or other he dies or ends up in prison, then you can kill my two boys. Now, how would you like that for collateral? If your son dies, then you can collect by killing two of your grandsons. Does that make any sense? But that's what Reuben offers. That doesn't convince Jacob. Later on, we'll see what does convince Jacob. This doesn't convince Jacob. And so, what do? They leave Simeon in prison. They sit there and do nothing. Jacob is not sending Benjamin. The boys know they can't go back to Egypt without Benjamin. They've got a little corn for the time being, and they're trying to see what happens. Sometimes, instead of doing what we need to do, I'm bad about this, we just wait and hope things will get better somehow in our misery. What a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ in Joseph. Beloved son, all the way down to forgotten prisoner, and then the ruler of Egypt. And now that great ruler is dealing with his loved ones. And he's dealing with them kindly. Notice he's feeding his family. He's saving them from death. And he's already given them a promise. You shall not die. I do this that you may live. But is Joseph making it easy for them? Easier than they deserve. But is it easy in their opinion? No. And does our Lord Jesus Christ deal with us that way sometime? Having risen, sitting on the throne, does he deal with us much better than we deserve? Yes. Does he give us life everlasting and sustain it? Yes. Does he give us an easy path through this world? No. And so we see the picture there. We in this world suffer because we need to know the value of provision in times of hunger. We need to know repentance. We need to know repentance. Remember what the message of John the Baptist and the early message of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel was? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What is the kingdom of God? Romans 14 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Our Lord wants us to experience that even while we're in the earth. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But you don't get there without repentance. And so he helps us and leads us so that we might repent and then have a greater revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.